That's right. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna let go of you. Whether we're out there on the dance floor or in the voting booth. All right. Shake a hand with somebody. Smile. Tell a good story. Sit down over a cup of coffee or tea. Share a meal. Get up and dance afterwards. All right. All my relatives out there are never going to give you up. Never going to let you down, hopefully. I'll see you right back here next week with more music from Roya's cellar, recesses of her mind, whatever you want to call it, in the vault. Okay. All right. Coming up next, Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. In the Twins, a nice frosty 31 degrees Fahrenheit. That's above zero. We're going to have some temperatures probably below later in a few months with Grandma Winter coming here. All right. It is time for Good Medicine with Wakun Jahade and Robert Pilot.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakun Jahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Robert. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, I see what you did there. If I would have said Chew Junk, you would have said Dega. I got that.
Yay.
That was a good one.
Hey. You're listening.
Yeah.
<I'm> just kidding.
It's not your first round dance. Ho-wa. Hey, we have our friends Dennis and Donna Dunlap, and they're owners of Native Blend in the great state of Michigan. And I've met you guys online before, and then also you listen to the show quite often, and I want to say welcome, and I really appreciate that.
Well, we thank you. We really appreciate you having us on this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Right on. Hey, so there's a couple things we should get to right away, and one of them is reaching out in regarding the topics of enrolled members of Lakota Ray, a band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and tell us why you're here and how we can help.
Well, I am obviously a tribal member from LCO, and they have been so kind as to distribute monies to us on and off res. They've been doing this for a year now. I believe this is the third payment that is going out. And we went up the first trip. I loaded up a couple of friends and other family members, nieces and nephews, and we trekked all the way to LCO. We're on a 12-hour trip, and unfortunately, we broke down. We had friends from Lac de Flambeau save us, and other family on LCO. They came to rescue us. They picked up everybody but me. I got stranded for 2 days. We picked up our checks. Everybody had time to come back and pick me up, and I was able to get the vehicle on the road. It was just one heck of a trip. So we want to help not only our family, but other friends, people out throughout the U.S. that are unable to go pick up these checks.
The situation with the program is there are some exceptions for not having to travel up, but everyone has to pick up their checks in person, or they have to have a proxy to pick up their checks. So what the situation is a lot of people don't live on res. I believe the numbers are somewhere 8,500 enrolled members, only 2,500 live on res. You have a lot of people that are displaced to various areas for different reasons, some of them from no fault of their own. And it's a hardship for some people that don't have those tribal connections on res anymore to find someone to give a proxy to pick up their checks. So my husband, Dennis, is graciously offering to make that 12-hour trek as many times as he has to pick up people's checks for him. Everyone can use the money. You know, everyone can use the money.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome that you're going to do that. How can people get a hold of you? Is it through your business, Native Blend, or... how can we get a hold of you?
We have several ways they can do it. They can look up Dennis Dunlap on Facebook and private message him. They can look for me on Facebook, Donna L. Dunlap, or they can go to Donna's Native Blend on Facebook and message that way as well. We'll shoot them a quick response. Shoot them our phone number, they can call us, and then we'll fill them on everything that they've got to do. It is a time crunch.
Yes.
They quit dispersing checks on the 20th. We would like to be able to try and get them out to people so they can use them for the holiday. So we're looking at traveling on the 15th to pick them up on the 16th, get them in the mail, and get them out so that people can have them.
We should be looking out for the Native community. There's so much separation in the world today, and I think it's just important to me to not only connect or reconnect with the reservation, but other tribal members as well. And it just hurts that there's people out there that need to help. The general perception on most reservations is that off-res personnel are rich, don't need the money, don't need the help. And that's not true at all. We struggle. Our kids struggle. We have 3 kids. We have 6 grandchildren. And I see the struggle they have. Our other family throughout Michigan, some live closer to Detroit, some live up north. And I know they need the help. They can't travel. So I take care of them, and now I want to extend it and take care of everybody else out there.
That's amazing. And I'm wondering, Haley, if we can blast this out in the email address every day on our show, maybe in the beginning to maybe people that have missed the show, and then make this like the best of.
Yeah, that would be a great way to get word out. And I think for all relatives, especially during the holiday season, like this amount of money that comes from tribal nations and nations that you belong to could really keep someone's lights on or the heat on during the holiday season, or put food on their table or get Christmas presents for their kids. Like, it really does make a huge difference. So this is really helping a lot of families. And thank you, Pinagigi, for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Spread the word. We want to help.
We have people all the way out in California, and it's, you know, is it worth the gas, the time, the energy for the amount of money that they're going to have to pay to get out there? If we can make it, you know, it's a stamp. It's a postage stamp. That's what it's going to take us to make a difference in people's lives for the holidays. We can swing that, you know?
We can handle it.
We're not asking for anything in return. We don't want any recognition. We don't want people to pay us. We don't want anything. We just want to help our community. That's all we want. We're getting good karma points out of this, you know?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, let's say your nation again and how we can get a hold of you.
LCO Lakutere, Lake Superior Band of Ojibwa. Dennis Dunlap on Facebook. Donna L. Dunlap on Facebook.
Donna's Native Blend on Facebook.
And at www.nativeblendllc.com. Just Google it.
That's our website for our products, which we're not here to plug that, but there is a contact us on that website where they can also reach out.
To download the form, go to LCO site at lco.com. It'll bring you right there. The form is right on the head page of LCO's homepage.
And they just got to fill out the form, mail it out to us, and we'll spell it all out to them when they contact us.
Well, I really appreciate a lot of things about you for listening to the show, but also doing this for your community and your relatives. And we'll blast this out, too, on the best of, and we'll make sure we bring it up as much as we can in the weeks following on that deadline. And, wow, really, thank you so much, Big Pinagigi. We're proud to know you.
Awesome. We thank you so much.
G-McGwitch.
Right on. Pinagigi. And don't forget Native Blend. Check it out. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio with Arvina Martin. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we have Christy Goforth, Executive Director at Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. It's really good to see you. I see your TikToks. I see your videos, and I like them. And, God, I said, Haley, we got to talk to Christy again. There's no rest for the wicked here.
Fushu, great to see you both. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. Let's start out and talk a little bit about Bikes for Kids Wisconsin and what they do for people that listeners that haven't, that don't know.
Yeah. Gosh, I hope my stream is okay. I feel like I'm cutting in and out, but hopefully it's all right on your end. Great.
Doing good.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization here based in Madison, Wisconsin. We do serve all of Wisconsin. And what we're doing is we're working in transportation equity. And what I've learned so much about that sector because not a lot of people understand what that means. And I talk about it all the time, but then I realize, you know what, people don't know what that means. And so what we're doing is we're really working to make bicycle-based transportation accessible for all people. bicycles are incredibly costly and they're getting more and more expensive. And if we see these tariffs go through, oh boy, bicycles are going to become, you know, what I remember buying my first car for, like $3,000, you know? So that's what we do. And so we do it, we have several programs. We have our bike giveaway program where we distribute bikes free of charge to people in need. We have our bike mechanics youth development program, and it's teaching kids how to be bike mechanics so they can maybe have a new career, you know, dream that they've never considered before. And we have our bike to work program, which serves adults that have transportation barriers. And often we're using that program to serve refugees and new immigrants here. Because, you know, owning a car is incredibly costly.
Yeah, definitely. And I know last time we talked to you too, you were talking about that you were getting out to the reservations in Wisconsin and checking out what their needs are. That's an exciting thing. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, you know, that was a connection with the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. And so we had a great connection with them, and they drove a U-Haul truck down here. We loaded it up with bicycles, and they hauled that back, these couple of women. I'm like, yeah, go girls. And they distributed, I think well over 100 bikes up there.
That's amazing. That's totally amazing. You know, what do you have? I just see your videos in there that you're working still. There's no, you're fixing bikes, you're having people come in. Talk a little bit about, you know, this is a year round activity.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, our bike center is really the largest bike center in the state. It's 12,000 square feet. Right now, it is just bursting full of bicycles, many of which are broken. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a huge sustainability effort, right? Is making sure they're not just thrown into the landfill. If the bones are good, we can save those bikes and we can restore them. And if the bones aren't good, well, we're going to take the pedals off. We're going to take the handlebar off, maybe the chain, and we're going to use that on another bike, and then we'll recycle that frame, you know? And so we're making sure things are disposed of well. It's a great example of a circular economy, because every bike that rolls in the door is of value in some way. I shouldn't say that. We had one that I think had sat on the bottom of Lake Mendota for a couple of years, and that one was beyond saving anything, but you know, it was nice that someone fished that out of there.
You used a big magnet, probably, huh?
Often it's like a kayaker who sees it in there, and then they like get their paddle, and then, you know, it's quite the sight. But yeah, so, you know, it's such a cool project to be a part mm-hmm. of, because, you know, for me, when I left my last job, I made a commitment that the only jobs I'm going to take from here on out have to fill one of three buckets. They have to provide me with a space where I can be a voice for the environment, where I can be an advocate for children, mm-hmm. or where I can help support marginalized people. And this allows me to do all three of those. And so I just love it for those reasons. And the people we serve are so grateful, because a lot of them are, you know, they've come out of their house in the morning to get to work, and they see that their car, which was parked on the street, was hit in the night, and it might be even totaled. And now they can't get to work, right? And so, and they have jobs where they don't really get vacation, you know, so they can take one day off without pay, and they come to our bike center, you know, with a transportation crisis. We are fortunate here in the Madison area or in Dane County that Dane County and several of the cities like City of Madison, City of Fitchburg, and Verona have made a big commitment to bike infrastructure and investing mm-hmm. in that. We see some incredible bike infrastructure up in, you know, up northern Wisconsin, right? Even by La Crosse or Minocqua area, Boulder Junction. And so it's such a great connected network that it makes cycling year round possible here.
Yeah, before I forget, that's Christy, that's your executive director of Bikes for Kids Wisconsin. Can you give us your TikTok and your YouTube and your Facebook, and so people can get really I'm amazed on how many bikes you had and how many people you're working on in the last video that I saw on TikTok, and so people can even, you know, donate, because we have a big audience in Wisconsin listens to us.
Yeah, you too. You know, it's funny, actually, usually when I'm doing this with you, the Bike Center is listening. They love listening to Native Roots Radio. And they're like, we didn't know you were going to be on. So we have volunteer work nights there on Mondays and Tuesday nights. And so it's always kind of fun that they're listening. So hi, everybody. Hi, Freddie. So Freddie is our host tonight, and he teaches Spanish while you're learning to fix bicycles. So the Spanish is yeah, it's cool. And then our Tuesday night is Ryan, and he does a music theme. So, but yeah, so our website is bikesforkidswi.org. My TikTok is just my personal one. I haven't, you know, I don't want to put another channel out to manage, right? So you can just find it at Christy Goforth. Or you can hashtag bikesforkidswi. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And then Facebook, all of our URLs are just, you know, bikesforkidswi. So you'll find them, you know, facebook.com/bikes. Yeah, you know.
That's awesome. I always think of biking, and now, Christy, I'm old, and I reminisce back in the 60s where we had the banana split seats and the bikes. I wish, if you ever see one of those come up, let me know.
Oh, Robert, we have got one that is so beautiful right now. I actually, tomorrow we have a telethon. I'm doing my first live streamed Giving Tuesday telethon from the Bike Center. And I'm going to try to pull off some bike show and tell. And this one bicycle, I tell you, you know, bicycles call out to the person. So I see this at our bike giveaway events all the time. Like, we'll have a really unique bike, like a Stingray. Robert, you know what a Stingray is?
Oh, yes, I do.
Chopper. And we'll put that out there, and I'll be like, "Ooh, I wonder who this bike is going to call out to." And then you see a kid come up, and they just race right for it. And their parent or caregiver might try to talk them out of that one. And there is no talking them out of it. And so I feel like that with this bike that I call Purple Rain. It's a purple velvet banana seat.
Yes.
Purple frame with the old ape hanger handlebars, and it's got some pink and white flowers on it. It is just, I just love it. And so today we were doing a test drive of our telethon, and I brought out Purple Rain. I had to show off that bike.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, let us know when you're doing that so we can share that out. And also, okay. Haley, make a note of that
tomorrow,
so we can.
All day tomorrow.
All day tomorrow.
Haley, make a note.
10 to 4 tomorrow.
Okay.
That's like all day.
It'll stream on our YouTube channel, so Bikes for Kids Wisconsin on YouTube.
An old friend of mine.
Hopefully, the tech goes off without a hitch. That's my only worry.
An old friend of mine that I worked with at Ho-Chunk Nation, George. George is asking if there's any three-wheelers.
We do. We have several right now. Hi, George. Yeah, we get trikes quite often, actually. They often go to, that's George Stacy. Hi, wonderful. They often go to a population we serve that has Down syndrome, or people with a variety of mobility challenges. Sometimes it's senior citizens who are rehabbing from a knee surgery, and maybe they'll just borrow it and rent it for a short term, you know. We have a few right now, George. Come on by.
George lives way out in the country, so I don't know how often he gets into a big city like Madison.
You know, and those three-wheelers are very difficult to transport, you know, so you'll need to bring that pickup truck, George.
He can get one of those, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, when did this start? And I know you've been involved for a few years, but when did this start? This is just such a great idea. And I don't know if you know this, but the Twin Cities is full of bike trails everywhere.
Yes, amazing. They're the kind of the gold standard. Well, so in the Twin Cities, there's an organization called Free Bikes for Kids Minnesota, Free Bikes for Kids Minnesota. And that actually, the star, it's a national organization that has several chapters. Their first chapter was established in the Twin Cities. And so we were a chapter, a gentleman named Andy Quant started a chapter here in back in 2017 was our first bike giveaway event. And so, you know, we've been at it 7 years. I think that is, yeah. And, you know, I've been here now almost 5 years. And so the Free Bikes for Kids program was a great foundation for us. The reason we kind of went beyond and decided to pull away from that and go to Bikes for Kids Wisconsin was, number one, we could tell by the bike obsessed people here in Dane County that we could definitely expand our borders. We also needed to operate more than just 10 weeks a year. I need a job all year. So okay. We took that year round and that was not part of the model. The model is, you know, it's a short temporary thing and you just fix up a bunch of bikes. And, so that's worked out really well with, for us, by using strategic partnerships throughout the state.
Awesome. Hey, we're with Christy Goforth, Executive Director at Bikes for Kids Wisconsin, and we're going to take a quick short break. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And great to hear from you, Ruth. How are you doing?
Hi, Dosha. Doing good. Mazagidads. Thank you for having us.
Right on. Hey, it's today is December 3rd, and it's a Giving Tuesday. And I want to give a couple times here during the show, I want people to be directed where your site is so they can give on Giving Tuesday.
Yes, thank you. Yep, it's miwrc.org, and there'll be a link, or there'll be actually like a pop-up window that will say, please donate. And so miwrc.org /donate. So miwrc.org /donate.
Right on. And, you know, one of the things we should talk about is how we can support and remind our relatives out there listening to the show what your organization does, just a quick overview, and then we'll talk about a couple other things.
Sure. We work to support American Indian women and their families, and we are culturally rooted in our community and our ancestral teachings. So we have a lot of different support systems, support mechanisms at MIWRC to help individuals, families, and our community to live a long, healthy life.
Right on. Hey, this Thursday, December 5th at 5:30, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is hosting a healing circle for Indian boarding school survivors and descendants. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yep. So the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition has hosted, provided space at various locations throughout the Twin Cities metro area. And I know they rotate locations. And so we're thankful to host the healing circles at MIWRC. I believe it's like the first Thursday of every month. And then it actually also coincides with the healing the cedar ceremony that takes place in the community room. So it's a nice healing space this Thursday. The Healing Circle will be convening in the Healing Journeys conference room on the first floor at MIWRC. But I know that they are encouraging the NABS staff who are hosting the Healing Circle are encouraging individuals and families and members of our community to also join in on the cedar ceremony. But there'll be food available, and they still want to offer that space. And I believe they're going to be moving to virtual healing circles, and they'll have mental health therapists and traditional healers available as well.
Wow, that's cool. Hey, we have a save the date winter storytelling with our friend Devery Fairbanks, and you want to talk about that a little bit? That's on January 8th at 6 p.m. and talk a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, for sure. And that's we're pretty excited to be hosting the event, and it's a time to come together and learn more of the different stories. And I'm just really appreciative of how much the richness in our culture that's accessible to everybody in the community and in the urban setting, so to speak, you know, in the Minneapolis St. Paul area. It's, you know, one of the largest urban native populations in the country, and so it's amazing to see how much richness there is in terms of our ancestral teachings still surviving the test of time. And we know during the winter months, that's oftentimes when certain stories are told. And actually was able to attend a gathering when I was back home at Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, and it was nice. We had clanship stories, and it was nice to share a meal and just be amongst community. And so really looking forward to the event. Zawin Gonzalez, the director of the Learning Center, is helping coordinate the event and also working with, you know, all of our different amazing programs underneath the MIWRC umbrella: family services, traditional healing, traditional birthing, NUJMO, and the drop-in center, and also our housing program.
Yeah, maybe you can remind our listening audience why we prefer storytelling in the winter.
Yeah, it's, I know there, you know, different tribal nations or tribes mm-hmm. have different meanings or different protocols and things. And so, yeah, I want to be respectful too, because I'm, you know, a visitor in Minnesota. I think different tribes have different protocols, and it's always good to respect those protocols for sure.
I know, kind of like with Ho-Chunk and our longhouse, stories were told because it was cold out, you know. But during the winter, we didn't want to go outside and chop wood, you know.
We have those buffalo hides. No, we were joking, too, about like some of the drafts coming in our doors at the house. We're like, yeah, it's time to whip out the buffalo hides.
Hey. Yeah. Shoot. So you touched lightly on it. How was the remainder of your weekend at home in North Dakota with the relatives?
Geez, it was pretty amazing. We have like the next, you know, our future generations are flourishing and, you know, in full swing. You know, we have, I got to hold a newborn relative that was just born 3 days. She was born on early Thursday morning. So we got to see her on Sunday on our way through Bismarck, stopped at the hospital there and saw my niece, who's doing well, got to hold her 3-day-old baby. Yes. So like my late auntie Hope, it's her great granddaughter. And then also the night before that, I got to hold a 3-week-old great granddaughter of my uncle's in Mandaree, relatives visiting from Montana. And then, yeah, so I got to hold a granddaughter and a grandson, great-granddaughter, great-grandson of my aunt and my uncle. So, and then we have more on the way. So we have a set of twins on the way in January and another little one on the way. So our, and they got to see one of my other uncles, another great-granddaughter at the Clanship Stories gathering in Newtown. So it's pretty awesome to see our future generations.
Wow. Well, that's a true definition of we're still here.
Yes, for sure. I mean, it's just super thankful to see and witness because, you know, like, yeah, it's just amazing to see and be alive in these times and to see the little ones being, you know, so loved up and nurtured, you know. So, yeah, it's beautiful. Super thankful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, you mentioned something else earlier, too, about, you know, we have what I've heard reported in my work is over 150 mm-hmm. tribes in the Twin Cities, and we have like 75,000 Native Americans in the seven-county area. You lived here when you were younger. How what kind of vibe do you feel now compared to then?
Well, first of all, I was single with no dependents. No. I was not single, but I guess, like, you know, when you look at the income reporting demographics boxes that you would, categories that you'd fit under, that was me. I'm just saying, like,
so was it single and ready to mingle? Is that the one you checked?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Anyways, no, like, I was a lot younger, but yeah, we had, I don't know. Yeah, of course, I think times have changed in terms of, like, crime, but although, you know, the place that I was living at, like, the first week there, like, Kitty Corner, from the house that I was renting, it was, like, a sublet in the attic of a big, older Victorian house, on Cedar Avenue, but it was like a week or 2 weeks in the house Kitty Corner from where I was renting or subletting. There was a homicide across, you know, the way. So I was kind of like my, you know, introduction to the neighborhood. But I definitely believe times have changed. I mean, with even how things were, because, you know, I worked at Division of Indian Work, Youth Leadership Development Program, on Lake Street, you know, so I didn't live too far from there. But yeah, I would say the vibe definitely, it just seems there's more, I would say a larger unsheltered Native population. That's what's really, really striking, I think, from between then and now, for sure.
Wow. Hey, we're with Ruth Buffalo, and I got to get used to calling you your name, Ruth Anna Buffalo, and we're really excited to talk to you, and keep both hands on the steering wheel, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We are Alusa.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're back here with our friend Irvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin Executive Director, and we're kind of just talking a little bit about the vow of silence, the assassination of Anna Mae Osquash. That's on, I believe it's Hulu, right?
Hulu. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I have all these streaming things and I can't keep them straight. Jeez. And I'm not bragging. Believe you me, it's like cut the cord and all of a sudden, anyways, that's another story of another show. But it's interesting. We were talking a little bit about the American Indian movement. And I know for not a fact, but I've had friends like Madonna Thunderhawk on, who is an OG from, you know, all the way from Alcatraz to Line 3 at everything, including Wounded Knee. And, you know, they were the workers. The women were the workers. I think the press kind of fell in love with a couple of these males that were out in front. But we as Natives really know better that, you know, Russell and Dennis were kind of the flavor of the month in the press, where the women really did the work.
I mean, yeah, I mean, doing everything in the background, like cooking and making sure, taking care of everybody. I mean, that is only given kind of a glancing pass at acknowledgement is very frustrating. And I think, you know, they talk about Annie Mae wanting to be on the front lines and doing those things and not being stuck in the kitchen. And you were talking about jealousy earlier. You know, there could have been, you know, lots of jealousy or people upset because someone was doing something that was different. You know, it's just, and then the seed sown by the FBI to make everybody so paranoid over everyone. I mean, it's just kind of unfortunately a perfect storm of things to create a terrible situation like the one that happened, like her murder.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't feel, and again, you're only on two, and I don't know, Haley, if you were able to finish it yet, but I think one of the things that really needed to be talked about more was that, you know, they cut her hands off, the FBI. They did all these things as if she was not a human being. And I don't think they talked about that enough. And they talked about more of the strife between factions of the American Indian movement and, you know, people denying knowing about it and, you know, making that it's. Let me just say this, though, Irvina, this documentary is well done.
Mm-hmm.
I was really, and I don't know why I always say this, but I was really pleasantly surprised, especially the first segment about the history of AIM and the history of all the things that came up to that. We talk about Leonard Peltier here all the time. He was a guest on our show. But there's factions back and forth that say that he had something to do with it. And so it gets really murky. But I also feel like, you know, the best way to, which the FBI wanted to do is get rid of the American Indian movement because they were powerful, is to divide us.
I mean, that's the easiest way is to sow seeds of doubt and watch the organization implode. You know, they tried to do that with everybody who they are not, you know, that they want to get rid of, that way they can kind of keep their hands clean too. You know, that, well, I didn't do it. They fell apart by themselves. You know, it's all part of that giant plan. And, you know, I think for some people that might not be a part of the Native community, it's, you don't want to think of your government and the FBI doing things like that to fellow American citizens. And we know that it happens. And I think I think that this documentary is a good step in the right direction. I agree with you talking about the history of the organization and about Annie Mae before she joined AIM. You know, talking, this is just a topic that is so important and never gets taught in schools. You know, we never talk about any of this in school. And that's a shame. And I think, you know, especially given the potential, you know, times that we are anticipating with this new administration, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of organizing, you know, and while a lot of the organizing is going to be the kind of civic organizing that is, you know, we want you to get involved. We want you to vote. We want you to write, you know, communicate with your elected officials. Tell them what you know, that you support A, B, and C, right? You know, those kinds of things. But you never know if there are going to be organizations that feel that taking a more militant standpoint and more militant tactics, perhaps, is a better term, you know, that we have the possibility of that kind of sentiment fermenting, you know, at this point in our history, I think.
I agree. And I believe, too, that a lot of this started after, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline. I really, truly believe that the seven fires did spread across the nation. You know, we had things happen. You know, George Floyd was murdered. It was a big part of it. But we had a professional football team change their name that no one would ever say that they would change their name. We had
a baseball team, too.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, and they were in process to changing it, the Cleveland team. But there was no way the Washington team, the owner said that he'd ever change it, and he ended up having to sell because of the pushback. So by bringing that up, we still have power as a community, and we still have that, where maybe AIM opened up the doors, but I believe your generation and the generation before you is really open, wide open. Their eyes are wide open to what's going on.
And the generation that is still young now, you know, it eyes wide open is a really great way of putting it. I think that the other thing that has been helping is that we are like branching out in different ways of being activists, of advocating for our communities, for policy that treats us with respect, and fulfills the promises that were made to us. You know, and we're able to attack issues and problems from multiple sides. And I think that makes it so much easier. You know, back in the day, there was only, you know, kind of one way, and that was the AIM way, you know, to go about doing things. And we have so many more options now, due to people who had vision, you know, who could see. I say this not to say that the folks in AIM did not have vision. They certainly did, and certainly do. But folks with different kinds of visions coming in and saying, we can do this on this end here while you're doing that way over here, you know, we will start a letter writing campaign. You go out there, we will handle getting you all of the supplies you need to get out to Standing Rock. You know, like there's multiple ways. We've got attorneys working on things, attorneys from within our communities. We've got professionals in all different fields that work for our communities, that work really hard to make our communities better. And because, so we have different experiences, but then we also have different ways of seeing the world. So our approach to solving the problem is going to be different, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so we have all of these options that we can use, and it, you know, many hands make light work. Is that what that saying is? I feel like I always get sayings and start at one point and then I end and I've completely messed up the saying. But you know, more and I think it helps to get more people to see themselves in a movement,
right?
And to see that there are different roles to play.
You know, Haley, brought up a good point when a good quote, and we talked about it with State Representative Keeler, or Keeler, and that quote, Haley, if you mind, I'm probably
I don't
by surprise there, but I mean, it had to do with all these people that were removed from their tribes to, into the cities.
And yeah, go ahead. It had to do. Oh, I think I have it right here. Doug George in episode one said that American Indians were relocated in the 1950s and put into urban areas where they were expected to blend in with the greater American society. But the point was to obliterate the heritage and culture. But he said once you put our native people together, like Lakotas with the Mohawks and the Kiowa with the Chumash, something magical was bound to happen. And instead of killing the native spirit, relocation became the seeds by which contemporary native movements began. So there's that.
I like that quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make Haley say it every other day, I guess. Sorry, Haley. Yeah.
It's okay. It's a good one.
It's like the lotus flower growing in the muck. You know, out of something terrible and a mess, here is something good that came out of it. And I think that shows the resiliency and the tenacity of Native people and shows why we're still here. You know, right. Evolving and adapting to the situations as they come. And you know, situations rapidly seem to be changing just all the time now. And so we have to kind of, in order to continue all the work, we all need to be doing our parts in whatever way that is. And there are so many different ways that it could be. It could, you know, we've named some of them, writing letters, you know, suing, you know, being parts of lawsuits. There's so many ways. Cooking and helping feed the people. Like,
right.
There's a place for everybody, and it's just a matter of somebody finding that spot that where they fit it, you know, the piece of the puzzle and where it fits.
Right. Well, you know, and two, we're gonna let you go, Arvina, but two, running for office, becoming doctors, lawyers in the community and helping their community, as so we're not a burden to the community, that we are leaders in the community.
And we use our skills to help each other. And that way we don't have to all know everything. We can go to people who specialize in it, and, you know, and it all gets better.
Right on. Good way to end it. Peeni Gigi Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, thank you so much for being on, as always.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely.
We'll see you. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
KFAI is proud to present the Heavy Sixers at the Turf Club on Thursday, December 12th. The Heavy Sixers are celebrating the release of their new EP with the help of fellow local acts The Silent Treatment, Moon Bato, and the 99ers. Tickets for the Heavy Sixers can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
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 Woo!
Hey.
That was pretty good at that time.
Yeah, it was the harmony, the three-part harmony was awesome. Hey, we're here with Heather Keeler, Minnesota State Representative, and our friend. We have a lot to talk about. I'm looking at the notes that the producer brought up here, and there's a lot of markets. And before we get into the markets you want to talk about, I just want to remind everybody, as a matter of fact, Wendy's down at the Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, where Native Roots Trading Post is, and straightening things up and filling up our orders. And so I'm really grateful for her and grateful for everyone coming out there. And then also, we're going to be, Wendy and I are going to be live in Shakopee on the 13th through the 15th at Native Roots Trading Post, selling our wares and telling a few jokes.
Well, are they going to be funny jokes or just jokes?
Dad jokes. I'm old. It'll be dad jokes. So it depends on what mood you're in, if you like them or not. You know, I can get eye rolls or people laughing You know, I taught school for 30 years and I had students always say, you know, you're funny. You should be a comedian. And I said, I am. And I got, you know, health care and I work 40 hours a week and I get the summers off. And so, yeah, there was that.
I thought you were going to say you were a teacher and so you were used to the eye rolls.
Oh, that too. Mm-hmm. That too. That's good. So, Heather, a lot going on, and we like to talk about, like, during powwow season, how important it is for people that go out and about and see something native to ask people who made this. And when we go to these markets, we pretty much know.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I think. So Haley and I have actually, when we link up in different places, it's like we always go to the vendors and we always check out, like, who's where and what's going on. And I look at it as an opportunity to support our relatives, but also to grow our own economics. And I think, you know, during holidays, we're always shopping for people. It seems like that time of year, and it's easy to go to Amazon or jump online and do things. And I really like, you know, we're coming out of Native American Heritage Month. Everybody really loved talking about us then, but now we go into, like, what decisions are you making in your life to really support what we do and what we're trying to do, whether it's locally owned businesses, women owned businesses, like going and supporting your friends. But for us, you know, it's our crafts. And I think, you know, some of our bead work is absolutely gorgeous. The amount of time and the talent that people put into that is really unique and wonderful. And so I really lean into reminding people that we have a lot of small businesses within our own community. And we all know people who make things or sell things. Robert, you and your family do that. And so I think it's that time of year where it's really nice to buy your friends and your family gifts. But it's even more important when you support the small businesses that your families and your friends run. It's a thing I've kind of learned being a small business owner and trying to lean into my friends to say, you know, how can you support my business? And that seems to be the hardest market for us to get into. And so, you know, I just want you to remember to support your friends, your family, other people in our community. Haley and I were throwing up some like just craft fairs that are happening, or markets that are taking place, cultural events that are happening. Some of our schools or Indian education programs are putting on round dances and powwows with vendors. And so I just want to, I guess, we talk about a lot of things, and sometimes the things that we talk about don't really impact us as a community. And I think shopping and supporting each other absolutely supports the economics of who we are as Indigenous people.
Perfect. And also, I guess, too, one of the things I was kind of trying to bring up, too, is that, you know, when our white allies are out there looking for Native things, ask questions. And then if you are at powwows or round dances or markets, you can buy things if they're for sale. You don't have to ask, but, you know, they're there for everyone to buy.
Yeah, I think it's the difference between, like, cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation. And, you know, buying the beadwork from the people who do that. You know, we have American Indian art acts that tell us, you know, that, like, when we have vendor booths or vendors, you know, sign up at powwows, that you really have to prove that you are an American Indian selling this artwork and these crafts, because it's something that is really unique to us. And there are things that people mimic, and, you know, buying things that look like our beadwork from Target is probably not really the way to support who we are. And so I'm with you, like, ask who makes them, ask where they're from, you know, learn a little bit about the story, about the colors that they've picked. You know, sometimes those things have really cool meaning behind them too.
And I know too, beaders, and when we work with our resin, we pray, you know, for everything we put in there and smudge it off. And those are important things. And Native relatives have come up and asked us if we've done that.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.